Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. And a gorgeous Friday it is. In fact, you know, Jeffrey was saying that this is the best, busiest sports weekend of the year. And it's going to be spectacular, Jeffrey. It's not just the biggest, best, whatever sports weekend of the year. It's like there's a lot of stuff going on. You got the Pink Palace Crafts Fair. You got the Mid-South Fair at the Landers Center still going on. You've got the Southern Heritage Classic. You've got Goner Fest. You got Trolley Night. You got like all kinds of things happening all over the city. And as you point out, the sports weekend is absolutely crazy with great NFL, with great college football, with unbelievable finishes to the baseball season, and with the Ryder Cup. How about that?
Well, it appears the Ryder Cup wants to go ahead and just exit the conversation and not be a part of the weekend.
Tell us what is happening. Go ahead and give people the update.
All right, so we're in morning foursomes, which for those that need the, what's the difference between foursomes and four ball? This is alternate shot.
Yep.
And typically, this is the format that largely decides the Ryder
Seven
Cup.
Seven out of the last 10
correct.
Who won this morning session won the Ryder Cup.
Correct. Team Europe is currently up in three matches. The U.S. leads in one, and of the three matches that Europe leads, two are pretty much 100% decided, and the other one is trending into decided. So, nice job.
You sound angry.
And
is it angry because we're getting trounced so far early, or because they're going to drain away the...
There's been horrible pairings.
Horrible pairings.
But largely what I'm upset about is the fact that, like, this is going to be like Italy, where it's over already.
What do you object to in the pairings?
Well, one of the pairings that we have, which is Harris English and Colin Morikawa,
that one seemed to be the weakest. Yes.
Well, according to Data Golf, of the 132 possible pairings that Team USA could have, this one ranks 132nd.
That's not good.
And we put it out in the very first matches.
That's not good.
They have a better... I don't understand why we were favored.
Up against Rory and Tommy Fleetwood.
It's going pretty well.
They did
win a hole.
That's good.
They're only four down right now.
Oh, my God. Angry. Jeffrey's angry.
JT, God. Go whine some more about having to sign autographs. Like, it just... That's the other problem. Our guys are just not likable. Like, our guys are just the pampered PGA Tour guys. Like... Their guys are out there smiling. I don't care if it was a charm offensive. They're bringing kids onto the fairway, signing their shirts. Like, just who cares? Like, if it's a charm offensive,
who cares if it's fake? You mean who cares if it's until they're doing it?
Yeah, the kids didn't seem to care.
Okay, but it's only 3-1.
That's a slaughtering. 3-1 is tough.
3-1 is tough.
Because then, even if we rally in the afternoon, we still have to go play this format again tomorrow.
Right. And then you got the singles on Sunday.
Yeah. And they have better players.
Jeffrey seems grumpy about this. As I said, the Ryder Cup is going to be is going to be exciting this week.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Plus great baseball. Plus great.
Baseball should be great, yeah.
Plus great college football. Plus.
Just get me to Saturday.
By the way, we have news from Drew Hill and John Morant. See this? Breaking news.
With Sounder?
This is it. Yeah. Seems to be a Daily Memphian Drew Hill exclusive that Ja Morant is, for his next contract, intends to negotiate his next deal without an agent, independently. According to Drew here, I'll read it. Ja Morant is taking a different path to his next NBA contract. The Memphis Grizzlies star, currently without an agent, intends to negotiate his deal independently. News of this decision comes in conjunction with the launch of ILOC, a new athlete-focused strategic advisory firm that will support Morant through the negotiation process. Morant will be the company's first client. ILOC, which stands for Internal Locus of Control, is owned by Morant's uncle, Phil Morant, his mother, Jamie Morant, and Kevin Helms, former Grizzlies employee who's now Ja Morant's personal management team, who's on his personal management team. Ja Morant has no ownership in the company. In an announcement Friday, the firm said it plans to offer business guidance, marketing opportunities, security, legal services, personal services, and contract education to Morant and future clients. Although owned by those close to Morant, ILOC's advisory team will also feature a certified NBPA agent who can explain the inner working of contract details, an in-house marketing team, and a legal team. Daryl Horn and Woodson Whitehead, executives from Memphis-based Private Wealth Advisory Group, will spearhead the financial advising department. So there you go. And the idea here, I'm just reading further, and I'd read this already, is, I mean, let's be honest. So Ja Morant is going to negotiate his own contract, but he's going to have these folks, including people he trusts, and a certified agent advising him. So you're wondering, how is that even different? What do you mean? He's not going to have an agent, but he's going to have an agent? What it really means, agents get about 4%. I think then the standard, Jeffrey, is that your understanding?
It varies from sport to sport, but it's between 3 and 5.
And then they get a whatever something. Then they get a chunk of endorsement deals.
They get a bigger percentage of the marketing and the endorsement deals.
According to Drew's piece, the endorsement deals can sometimes be as high as 20%.
Yeah.
The percentage from a salary is more often about 4%. So instead of doing that, what Ja is going to do is this group is going to operate on an hourly basis, like just like a law firm, if you hire a law firm. In fact, various athletes have done this before, most notably Shane Battier, I remember. He had a Washington, D.C. law firm because they're like, I could give you 4% of $100 million, right? Or I could give you $500 an hour. Or $750 an hour, or Washington D.C. law firm partners, or maybe make $1,000 an hour, but you got to have crank up a lot of hours to get to 4% of $100 million. You know, so the idea is that it's a more cost effective way to do this, and that you're getting the same quality advice. Anyway, that's the idea behind it. Ja is going to be negotiating his own deal. Going forward with the advice of these folks. That story from Drew Hill, which you can read at the Daily Memphian. Any reaction to that, Jeffrey?
A couple of things. Number one, I would argue that's good for Memphis and good for retaining Ja.
And the theory being?
Usually agents shop you around a lot more. So if you're
They may want to be aggressively, they may have their own agenda about aggressively trying to place you in somewhere else, right?
On the flip side, what I would always say is this is one of those things where it always sounds good, like, oh, yeah, I can do all this myself. But the risk now is there's not much buffer between you and the organization. And as we all know, negotiations can get tense.
Right. Well, I mean, so if you want to be skeptical about it, the part that I would be somewhat skeptical about is it's his uncle and his mom and his, you know what I mean? Like, we're seeing this with Kawhi, right? With Kawhi's uncle. And
I won't even go that far. I would argue the reason why Lamar Jackson ended up getting franchised for the year was because he didn't have an agent.
Right. But here's the point. I guess my larger point is I don't actually think that not having an agent, but instead having expert advice that you pay on an hourly basis, as opposed to you're getting expert advice either way, right? One way you're just paying it by the hour. The other way you have this formal agency relationship where you're giving up 4%. You're not really going it alone in either of those situations. It's really just a different payment.
Yeah, rate. I guess though this is the reality check. The people that you're paying hourly, like they're usually just kind of reviewing, like that looks
well,
good.
Well, I'm just saying it depends. It depends. Like with Shane, I actually knew the law firm that he was where he was working with.
And for DC,
It was ridiculously
employment like
it was
contract
a tremendous law firm, and so it wasn't just my cousin looking at the documents, like for example, you know what I mean. So yes, going it alone and not having an agent does not seem to be a smart thing to do. If that means you're basically actually are going it alone. But if you're just getting expert advice from a different sort of relationship, I don't think that's a problem. And I think your point is also right, that I think it's probably good for the Grizzlies going forward. Anyway, you can read that piece. Interesting.
Because also, didn't you say mention one of the members of the company, the new company, is a former Grizzlies employee?
Is
a former Grizzly employee.
Yeah, Kevin, he used to be security there, and now he is, he's absolutely integral to Ja Morant's operation. So anyway, that's the news. There you go. Jeffrey is, I'm going to tell you, as we are discussing the world of sports, Jeffrey is.
I love my country. I hate my country's golf team.
He is watching TV and steam. Steam coming off of him, I would say. What's happening right now that has the steam coming off of you? God,
I'm watching Russell Henley. With all due respect, seems like a wonderful family man, mm-hmm. great father, great husband, all that. The fact that he's third in the world just shows like we can manipulate the world ranking points. Like, no, we're sending Russell Henley out against Rory McIlroy. Can't believe that this isn't going well.
He loves his country, hates his country's golf team.
They're just so whiny, and they're just insufferable. Ugh.
All right, today on the radio show, we got Jason Smith's going to make his return, I do believe, in the next segment. We'll talk to Jason about all manner of things. Chris Harrington, straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Jeffrey is going to make you rich with Jeffrey's bets. I do want to say, I got an email today from someone who was concerned, Jeffrey, that I explain that every year I go get 10 crisp $100 bills and I ask you to invest this money for me.
Yes.
And this listener who likes the show, an avid listener, and I appreciate him taking the time to write, he says gambling and investing are not the same thing, and he wants to make sure that particularly any kids out there listening understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a caveat here. They're not exactly the same thing. Let's be honest. Gambling is, and let's see if you can follow this. Gambling. That's what it is. Gambling is gambling. You can lose it all, 100%. DraftKings isn't in business, so you're going to get rich. Indeed, if you're too good at it, you know what they're going to do? They're going to bounce you or put limits on you. Like, it's not. It is.
Certain places will.
This is not actually the way to invest, and if you're looking to buy a home or finance your retirement or your kids' college education, I would not suggest. I told them I didn't think this was necessary for me to say, but that people they say don't estimate this over the stupidity of the American mm-hmm. public,
but underestimate the stupidity.
Underestimate whatever it is. That's the word. Thank mm-hmm. you. It seems to me going without saying that most people do understand that gambling and investing not identical. I just take a small, I'll be honest, I have other $100 bills mm-hmm. besides the 10 that I give to Jeffrey
right.
that I tell him to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep telling him to invest that money. For example, Jeffrey, how's it doing?
Jeff, right now, after a 6-6-1 weekend where we just tipped the dealer and left, I've I've not doubled your money again. It's slightly back underneath. You're only at $1,955. I'm sorry.
That's tough. That is tough. See what I'm saying? Sam's saying, kids? Yeah. You're only going to double your money within about 4 weeks.
Of course.
And so that's the kind of risk you're going to have to take. We'll try to get Jeffrey to cheer up here, and hopefully the Ryder Cup will take a happier turn.
I'm better when I bet angry.
And we'll get to Jeffrey's bets in the second hour. In terms of the thing, well, first of all, last night's game, it's funny. Over at The Athletic, it said a late night classic.
Yeah.
And one thing that was not was a freaking classic.
No.
It was not a classic. It was a muddle. It was a struggle. It was a slog until the very end when it became interesting. And then I have a gripe. Kickers.
Yep.
Come on, man. Really? This game in the end came down to a kicker who couldn't hit the target, who missed the target, the landing area, whatever the hell you call it.
I think it's the landing zone, but yeah. So your point is well made.
It's ridiculous. One swing of the foot that has to land where it has to land, otherwise it goes to the 40. And it, so it goes to the 40, and then
they hit one pass.
One pass.
That's it.
And then again, kicker complaint here, a 52-yard walk-off.
Yep.
It just that all it did, they have conspired to make this game about stupid kickers. That's what it became at the end.
Well, the biggest problem that I have with it is the kickoff rule. It wasn't done to actually make anything more exciting. It was just done because they're worried about lawsuits.
I have to say, every time I watch a college football game, I'm so happy to
see
kickoffs.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God.
Thank God.
Yes.
We have kickoffs. I don't have to do none of this stupid stuff. None of this stupid stuff.
Well, they're returning 77% of kicks. It's like, yeah, it's not exciting.
No, it's jarring.
Yeah.
It's jarring. And every time you see a college football game, it comes as a relief.
Yes.
You know.
Even when I had called a high school game last night, you're just like, oh, thank God, a kickoff.
Did you come away, and what happened in the high school game, Jeffrey?
The Owls won 36-25. White Station, though, is getting better as a football team.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear. Jason and John will be thrilled to hear that. Although I heard John yesterday complaining that he is never invited back to White Station to speak to the kids. And I think there was a reason for that. And my reason would be that they're a little worried that John would rub off on them.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
Why bring him back? Anyway,
John doesn't want to take a look in the mirror.
Did you come away, and obviously you were otherwise distracted for at least part of the game last night, given you had your own game, are you convinced about either quarterback? Sam Darnold did what he had to do with the one throw. First of all, smartly threw it away on first down. That was actually.
Yeah.
And then did what he had to do.
Well, the biggest difference, like, how many bad sacks did Kyler take last night?
A million.
And versus Darnold, he got rid of
the ball.
Yeah.
Can you win a Super Bowl with either of those quarterbacks?
I'm going to say can't win a Super Bowl.
I think you.
I mean, I guess maybe your 10 is just awesome, but like.
You can. If the rest of your team is awesome.
It's going to be tough to have a whole lot better team than Sam had last year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's true. That you make a good point. He had a hell of a team and push came to shove.
And with but Kyler, I just don't know how serious he is as a quarterback.
And last night, 18-26, 242 yards, touchdown for Sam Darnold. The Marvin Harrison experience is really, it's fascinating to watch. Because, like, he's a guy who, when he came out of college, there's some players who you wonder about one thing or another thing, or do they have the he was like the foolproof, gold-plated, cannot fail.
100%, like, safe, like, okay, well.
Safe, explosive, everything. Like, he was the surest thing of sure things, right? He had the pedigree, he had the athleticism, he had the production, like, everything. And he came from the Ohio State. He like everything, and it's you know, you expect maybe a quarterback to struggle even if they have everything when they first get to the league. You don't expect a receiver to look lost, right?
Agreed.
It's just I have
well, look like he can't catch the ball.
Like he can't catch the ball. Look like he's like, and so you had the two picks yesterday. One he just gives up on his route, or it's a miscommunication, however you want to phrase that. And then the other one he bobbles the ball and can't bring
through
it
traffic.
In for literally the best prospect coming out that year.
Like yeah.
And then you have the, you know, redemption with the big high point catch yeah. in the end zone. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how there's a lot of talk about Murray and Harrison not being on the same page. I don't even understand what that means. Why would you not be? Get open, throw the ball. Like, I don't get it, honestly, why it takes 2 years to get on the same page.
My theory is that Kyler, like, I didn't dismiss when the Cardinals put in the contract, you got to start watching film. My thing is, so much in the NFL is side adjustments based on what coverage they're
you're
in.
You're blaming
Kyler. Yeah. Like, Kyler's throwing the ball where he thinks it's going to be, and then Marvin reads another thing.
All right. In terms of this weekend, one of the things that strikes me, I mean, first of all, in the NFL, you've got the Ravens-Chiefs, which is, I don't know if it's desperation time, but that's...
It feels like it's got whiffs of Anxiety Bowl.
As we said earlier this week, the Ravens schedule really softens up. And so this feels, honestly, like it's a more important game for the Chiefs than for the Ravens. You might have Worthy back, it feels like, for the Chiefs. So it feels like, because the Chiefs have the tougher schedule going forward, it feels like it's more important for the Chiefs. But, like, neither team is going to be happy being 1-3, and they're both going to have a lot of work to do. So that's fascinating. The Packers-Dallas, just because of the Parsons' return.
Yeah.
Right? And that doesn't feel like it's going to go well for Dallas.
I mean, Dallas can't stop anyone.
The Jackson Dart debut.
Yes.
You're pumped about that. And by Sunday, you may not have the Ryder Cup to watch.
Exactly.
So
I can really sit down and watch really Jackson Cook against that Chargers defense.
We're also going to have an early game from Dublin.
Yes. Can't wait.
And so that, I think, at 8:30 or something.
Thanks
like
be to
that,
the commission. I think this is our first ever September Europe game.
And then you got one that's, I think, sneaky good is Bucks-Eagles.
I would feel a lot more excitement if I thought the Bucks offensive line was, like, capable. They're so banged up.
Right.
Well, I mean, is there the possibility Wirfs comes back?
The way this, I think, yes. The way this was being pitched on Sportsmanlike, the show that precedes this one, is the Eagles look like, even more than any team in the AFC, the Eagles look like the clear best team in the NFC, right? There's the separation there. There's the, A, they're the defending champion, and B, they've demolished, you know, they already started out by, they beat the Rams, they beat Detroit, like, and every time Jalen Hurts starts to finish his game, they win. So there's this.
I guess, though, the one thing I'd push back, though, on that is, would we really feel that way if the Rams make one of two kicks?
I don't actually feel that way about the Eagles necessarily. I do think I wouldn't feel that way. If the Eagles were in the AFC, I wouldn't feel that way at all.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think there's a – I don't think there's many good teams in the NFC. It's also interesting – one of the interesting things after last week's game where they had to open it up was hearing the receivers say, I wish we do that all the time.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like everything's just happy there, you know?
No, but that's a water's wet situation.
That's
it feels like
true.
AJ's always one game away from demanding a trade.
The argument that they were saying is that the Bucks are the obstacle. The Bucks are the possible.
Yeah, they've not actually had great
Bucks
success
are the possible
in Tampa. Yeah.
Obstacle, and yes, they've not had great success against that team and that coach.
Yep.
And so, if they can demolish the Bucks, then what we're seeing is a true Death Star in the this is sort of a separation defining game to take care of the last obstacle in front of the Eagles. I just think the seasons are so long, so many things happen, ups and downs. I don't feel that way, and I don't feel like that. Do you put the Eagles in the same category? And maybe we should at some point as the Chiefs, the recent Chiefs, or the Patriots before that, or any of the burgeoning dynasties that we've seen in the NFL.
I don't, but I am open to the idea that, if they rattle off 3 out of 4, then I'm open to the idea.
I am open to the idea that their defensive front is so overwhelming and their collection of talent. I mean, the truth of the matter is they have receivers they don't even use.
Correct.
You know, they've got great receivers. Compare what Jalen Hurts has to work with, again, with what Josh Allen has to work with. He's got Saquon and he's got those receivers. Like, I'm open to the idea that they might become that. I don't feel like we're looking at them like that now. Anyway, interesting.
I think a big part of that, though, is they don't really blow people out.
Say that again.
They don't lose, but they don't blow people out.
Right.
It feels like a kind of a different version of like what
now
we
it feels
went
like
through
the Chiefs last year.
I would say like what we went through with the Chiefs last couple of years, where you're like, are they good?
But the other thing, and again, I'm trying to find Jeffrey consolation for this, the Ryder Cup out of hand here, is it really is a great weekend of college football.
Oh. And it's even balanced. Like, we've got two good games, I think, tonight.
Like, we got Florida. One of the interesting things is that if you look at the top 25, you've got so many ranked teams who are on the road.
Yes.
So
even, and a lot of them are going a long way.
And so, like, that mayhem can happen, you know? I mean, we just saw Arkansas wasn't ranked. Whatever, we saw Arkansas comes to Memphis. It's like things can happen when you've got ranked teams on the road. So among them, you got Florida State going to that they're number 8 at Virginia tonight, and TCU number 24 at Arizona State tonight.
Yep.
Right? So you got two ranked teams on the road tonight. Then you've got Ohio State at Washington. You've got LSU at Ole Miss. You've got Indiana at Iowa. You've got Tennessee at State. You've got Georgia Tech at Wake. You've got USC at Illinois. You've got Notre Dame at Arkansas. You've got BYU at Colorado. And then of the teams, the ranked teams that aren't traveling but are hosting, a lot of them are hosting ranked teams. So you've
or
got.
Or in like nervy spots.
Or in nervy. So you got Penn State. Okay, they're not traveling. They're hosting Oregon.
Correct.
You've got Ole Miss. They're not traveling. They're hosting LSU. You got Georgia. They're not traveling. They're hosting Alabama. You got Illinois. They're not traveling. They're hosting USC. Like, it's crazy number of games that could just be wild.
Well, and what I love about it is it's fairly balanced. Like, we have interesting games in almost every window. Like, what I can't stand is the weekends where it's like, All right, well, I guess I'll see it at 6:30. You know what I mean?
If you could, I'm going to guess. I mean, if you could watch one game, would it be Georgia-Alabama?
No.
Penn State-Oregon?
Yep. Because I don't know what either of those teams are.
But then LSU-Ole Miss. Are those the three? You get three games. I give you three games you can watch this weekend.
Yeah, I think those are the three.
Are they all on your card?
Two of them are.
Penn State, Oregon. We got no idea what those teams are like.
No clue.
Georgia, Alabama, which is, I mean,
Georgia's kryptonite.
And Alabama, we wonder what they are, right?
Again, what if Florida State's just really freaking good and we look back at the end of the year, hey, they went on the road, it was week one, and they ran into a buzzsaw.
And then, you know, we thought LSU was this juggernaut because of the way they took care of Clemson. They can't run the ball. Yeah. And now Ole Miss may have
stumbled. They couldn't even beat Clemson as bad as Syracuse beat Clemson.
Ole Miss may have stumbled into a quarterback who can do it all.
But they've gone against Tulane and Arkansas.
But they've gone against Tulane and Arkansas. It's a it's an unbelievable.
I mean, I think Auburn and A&M is interesting.
I don't think Ohio State at Washington is. That could be more. I'm sure you're going. You have that on your card and you're laying the points. Is that not right?
We'll see.
What's the line?
8.
Do you think some are suggesting Washington is underrated?
I don't know if they're underrated, but I have a formula.
Do you think Tennessee at State has any peril at all for Tennessee?
I think it's the first true road game for Aguilar, and I think Mississippi State, rightfully so, has every right to be excited and to get excited, and I think that could be a tough environment, and you see a guy not play well in his first true road start, and I think State is very much capable of making the game interesting. The fear and hesitation that I have in that is when Heupel's typically gone up against people that basically run the same offense he does, they've usually come out on the better end of it.
And then you got, of course, we haven't even mentioned Memphis on the road. We're just assuming they will follow up last week's big win with another win. Any peril here for Memphis?
I mean, the only peril is you're hungover from a big week.
How about, last night, also not a classic, East Carolina took care of Army.
Yeah.
It does, like, whatever, like the American isn't going to, you know, it's not going to be the focus of the entire country. Army's weird. Like, how the hell they beat K-State? But then the other question is...
Might say more about K-State.
Is East Carolina actually pretty good? And like we talk about the games that Memphis could lose going forward, one that we don't talk about a lot is...
Oh, I already circled that as to the trap game of trap games.
At East Carolina.
Oh, yeah. After Tulane.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that game is... Especially if they roll in there and they've just beaten Tulane. Like, oh, yeah, all we got to do is get through East Carolina.
All right, we're gonna take a break here in a minute. We'll talk to Jason Smith on the other side, Chris Harrington after that, and then Jeffrey will make you rich. Again, you can read Drew Hill's story about Ja Morant. The breaking news was Ja intends to negotiate his own deal with the Grizzlies, I'm going to presume, going forward. But also, folks around him have formed not an agency, but an advising company that is going to be helping Ja and presumably others. It's not going to be just limited to Ja on a different kind of arrangement than your typical agency deal. You can read that at the Daily Memphian. I was in O'Call 2 days ago. O'Call, of course, is one of the squares, as you would imagine. It's a legendary store. It's one of the squares on the new Memphis Monopoly board, of course. And what strikes you is it's fall. You walk in there now, and listen, you can still get, you know, buy now, wear now, whatever else. We're still going to have warm days ahead. And by the way, you can still do that. But you walk in right now, and there's the Stio. Now, the Stio is the folks from Jackson Hole. And I have a Stio jacket, and people comment on it. It's spectacular. And Stio's right there, and Barber's right there, and there's quarter zips, there's sweaters. It is time. You can get in there and get ready for fall. The other thing is, I was walking through the sport coats because I've got this wedding coming up that I've got to officiate, and so the sport coats are spectacular there. I got Monroe sport coats the last time. I got two, each one more beautiful than the next. But the other thing that struck me is they got tuxedos, and it only, like, if you use a tuxedo twice and you go out and rent a tuxedo, you've spent what you're going to pay for having 100%. A tuxedo. And the thing about tuxedos is they say that they, you know, people buy them and they tend to shrink in the closet, Jeffrey. You notice that about tuxedos? So you might need a new tuxedo. And you don't want to be renting a tuxedo, and you don't want your kids to be. Go ahead. If you're going to use a tuxedo, two or three times in the next few years, you might as well go buy a tuxedo. It's a spectacular store. That's why it's on the Monopoly board, and they are ready for fall. This would be a perfect weekend to get in to see our friends at O'Call. Jason Smith, when we come back, Penny Hardaway, Jeffrey, said that this is his second most talented team.
Stop disrespecting me, bro.
That's what he said. Second most talented team. We'll ask Jason what he thinks about Penny's rankings of his most talented teams. That and more when we return. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Good to have Jason back this week, as the whole community's been with him after the passing of his dad. Jason, Penny Hardaway spoke yesterday about his team, and he was ranking his team in terms of talent. Penny is so interesting. Like, he just says interesting things all the time. You know, like most coaches, if you asked most coaches to rank their teams on which are the most talented, they just say, well, they're all talented in their own way or whatever. They wouldn't answer this question. Penny not only answers the question, he's very specific about it. He thinks in terms of talent, it's the second best roster. And he went on to specify that the best roster was the 21-22 Jalen Duren roster. That team won one NCAA game and then lost to Gonzaga, right? I think that's that team.
Right.
Do you agree that that was the most talented roster? And what do you think about Penny saying this is number two?
Well, his point is there was a key caveat in there, I guess, in that he was saying, you know, top to bottom. Because if he even said, because someone asked him a follow-up, it might have been Parth, you know, what about the Javon Quinley team? And Penny pointed out, yeah, not up top in terms of this team. I'm not ranking it second in terms of the top three, four, five guys. We're talking, he said, 1 through 15. Now, of course, this is a new year where you have 15. Usually this is 1 through 13. All that said, no, I mean, it was good to hear because we have no idea. Now, again, Penny has often, instead of, as you point out, most coaches either don't ask the question or, you know, kind of beat around the bush, or I think you see the majority undersell. Right, you undersell so that you can over-deliver. Well, I like our talent, but it's got to come together. You know what I'm saying? And we'll see. We could be a championship-level team, but we've got to work on it. No, I mean, Penny doesn't go about it that way, and we're fine with that. In fact, as you said, we love it, especially on a Friday where all of a sudden we can talk Memphis Tiger basketball because Penny's giving us sort of some goalposts to work from. The fact that – and clearly – This last addition of Tariq Ingram, I believe is how you pronounce his name, has Penny feeling pretty good to get a guy in there as physical as hopefully he will be. It's something that you didn't have. And so, he talked about it between the size, which I think is what he, you know, pointed to most, is we haven't had this kind of length. And then, the, you know, the skill up front with Doug McDaniel, obviously a small guy, but he talked about it. You go from Doug McDaniel at 5'10 to 6'4 and then beyond. He's excited. And so, you know, your job is to sell your team, to sell the program. And if you come out this year and you say, I don't know, well, we don't either. And that doesn't really get anybody excited. So I'm happy to hear it from Penny, but I'll believe it like we all should when we see it. And he's talked, he said it too. You can have a talented squad. We know that, and the thing come all apart. So just as much as talent is important, more so really is chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's at least arguable that the 23-24 team is as talented as any team has had, and that one was a total disaster, right? Because of chemistry. By contrast, the 22-23 team with Kendrick, I don't know that it was super talented top to bottom, but it had a best player. It had a clear pecking order. It had
the key. Yes, yeah. The pecking order. I mean, you had a shorter rotation there, but you had a pecking order. You had a star in Kendrick Davis, and you had guys filling in roles behind him. And in many ways, let's be real, it was easy to work out, and that's why the chemistry on that team was so good. In some cases, you've had, and I'd point to that Javon team, maybe so much where everybody feels like they've got to be the guy. That leads to bad chemistry. A guy goes out like Caleb Mills, you know, one of your team guys, all of a sudden the whole thing falls apart. And so from top to bottom, it's probably got to be up there because he's had some teams, again, let's talk about, you know, where the bottom hasn't done much for you. Now, again, Penny's gotten himself into trouble.
Well, that's the question.
Trying
is this
to play
a good
10, 11 guys, right?
He's going to be juggling 15 guys this year.
That would be the concern when you hear this. Is it so talented that Penny's going to try to play everybody? And in trying to play everybody, you lose back to the word that you used: roles, defined roles. It's been in those seasons where those have gotten murky, right? Where Penny's had the trouble. So hopefully he's able to, sure, be talented, play a lot of guys, but what you want most is guys knowing what they're supposed to do, knowing what role they've got to play. Seems like those end up being the best teams in college basketball.
Like you, mostly what I liked was, because it is such a mystery, this team.
Absolutely.
That I like hearing his enthusiasm for it. And it, you know, yeah. It doesn't feel like it's fake. We also had, by the way, the release of the home schedule. And you know, I mean, as John likes to point out, it's this conference does not do you any favors in basketball in terms of creating signature events. The other problem with this conference in terms of hoops is there's no Saturday, not a single Saturday home game because they play their games on Sunday. And let's be honest, like when I had kids, Saturday was the day to go out on some adventure, and Sunday's the day to, you know, start locking in again. You know, you do the things you need to do to get ready for the week, whatever. Maybe you flip on the NFL game. It's just too bad, isn't it? I mean, don't you think Saturday's the day you should be getting down to FedEx Forum to watch the Tigers play basketball? And there's literally not a Saturday home game on the schedule.
It's not your building. You know, wish there was something more to, you know, this was fixable, or there was something you could say, and hey, maybe this is a way out of this, but it's, you know, it's not your building. You're beholden to the Grizzlies in that sense, and they're going to get first dibs. It's unfortunate. It absolutely is. But, you know, you're dealt the hand that you are playing in someone else's building.
And I think it's the TV package. I mean, it's they like having Memphis on their signature TV package, and their TV package is a Sunday TV package.
And I will take those again because, you know, what in terms of the trade-off, in terms of building the brand and everybody seeing you playing, I'll take the platform that I'm on with television. But no, I mean, Memphis, in terms of, I don't know, again, we've talked about this, the idea that you'll ever have, you know, 15, 16,000 in there on average, no matter who you've got down there like it once was, I just think those days are over. But we're obviously not talking about a place either where you're, right, you know, talking about getting your own building and those kinds of things. But no, hopefully you use this, you know, that's the one good thing about the American as it relates to basketball. The football conference has obviously gotten better from a strength standpoint, but is this television platform, is the fact that you get to play on ESPN, and usually that's going to equate to highlights on SportsCenter if you're good, and that's the way, again, especially nationally, you can keep that brand popping.
All right, over to Memphis football. It's interesting, here's the contrast. Penny is asked to rank where his team is in terms of talent. He gives you an answer. Ryan is asked to rank where this past week's win over Arkansas ranks, and he doesn't. But I don't blame him, by the way. Like, who the hell knows? I'm not saying he should have told. But where do you think that the win over Arkansas, I would put it up there. The others that I would compare it to would be the win over Florida State last year, the win over Central Florida early in his career, and the win over Mississippi State and Mike Leach. I think those are the biggest wins he's had, plus this one. Where does this one compare to those?
It's a good question. Somebody else asked me this right after, and I went ahead and said, I'll put it at the top, but, again, caveat, you know, there's a way to maximize it and keep it there, and you do that by winning the American, right? This can probably drop down, and you can have an argument with using those other games if the Tigers don't go on and do that. But if they do, that in this non-conference win, especially the way it happened, I mean, you dominated an SEC team on the ground. It was a miracle finish, probably something. If this goes on, you win the American, you go to the college football playoff, we'll forever be remembering that fumble and Bracey's play is sort of a miracle play, sort of like the you know, what happened with the Titans. I mean, maybe in a way, you know, I could foresee that. But you know, that's if you don't do that, Jeff, if you go out and you know, you lose that East Carolina game that you guys were pointing to, that all of a sudden seems a little bit more dangerous than maybe we thought, or for whatever reason you're third or fourth in the American, then what is it? You beat another Power Four conference opponent, but you didn't make it as much as it could have been by going on and winning a conference that right now, you know, I'll just say this, South Florida still scares the heck out of me, and I'd have them number one and Memphis number two. But ESPN, I think I saw Brad retweeted, I mean, the FPI's got Memphis with far the best chance to be the group of five representative. And again, in a way, and I said this with Jeffrey yesterday, Ryan's sort of back into the driver's seat. He's now in a way like he was last year, where he was predicted to finish first. The pressure's now on him as sort of the front runner, because that, you know, yeah, sure, it's a computer, it's the ESPN FBI, but a lot of folks are looking at Memphis now as that team based on what it did against Arkansas, and again, based on how Florida has played. Those South Florida wins over Boise State and Florida, the sum, maybe not as impressive. And so my point is, pressure's back on. You're sort of the front runner again. And it's been in these positions where, you know, you've stubbed your toe. Hopefully that's not happening. This feels like it could be different. And Jeff, I would point to the defense first. Said this with Jeffrey. Their improvement. They're in the 50s at SP Plus. That's a place they haven't been since early in Ryan Summerfield's tenure. They were 80th last year. That's a measure of defensive efficiency. 100 and something the year before. So in Jordan Hankins' second season, he's got this defense not just creating turnovers and tackles for loss like they've been able to do, but standing up and getting stops and playing in a more physical way than it has. And so certainly more efficiently than it has. You add that and this dynamic run game to a lower level of, you know, slate of opponents that are going to be in the American. And, yeah, I'm excited about Memphis football and this opportunity that Ryan Summerfield has to cash in. You know, all this investment that you've made to really get some return on it and seeing yourself, you know, playing for that American, hopefully lifting up the trophy and then going on to obviously great things in that college football playoff. Just being there will be the great thing. Having Memphis mentioned like Boise State was last year, you can't do a better thing for your brand.
Jason, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
It's Jason Smith, Jason John, every single day from 11 to 2. It is really kind of amazing to think they could be in the playoff, Jeffrey. I mean,
but remember, you and I talked about this before the beginning of the season. Like, the path was there.
Yeah.
And probably even more so than last year because of how the schedule worked out.
The schedule falls. It's still less likely. Like, if you were saying, will they or will they not be, I would bet no. But just because.
Yeah, I mean.
Here's what happens. You are the favorite until you, like, everyone's talking about South Florida until South Florida loses a game, right? Everyone's talking about Tulane until Tulane loses a game. Everyone will now be talking about you until you lose a game. But as soon as you lose a game, they will be talking about someone else. So literally, yeah, sure, it's all in front of you, but it all depends on you just never losing a game, and that's not easy.
It's not easy, but I would also say, like, for me with Summerfield, it's like, I've seen him win this game. It's can you go on not stub
right.
your toe?
100%. All right, Jeff. So the Ryder Cup is underway, and you, in addition to being the producer of this show and an active participant, really a co-host, you've also been watching what has been unfolding at Bethpage Black. What is our update from the Ryder Cup, Jeffrey?
Jeff, Europe has put three blue flags on the board. They have won the first three matches. They currently have 3 points. The U.S. has 0 points. The U.S. with one match remaining on the course. It is now down to a one-up lead on the 14th hole. Lead. Correct. They have a one-up lead, but that lead has been dwindling.
And who is this? These
so we have Cantlay and Xander against Victor Hovland and Robert McIntyre.
Okay. And what happened to Bryson, man?
I hated it for him. Despite winning the first hole and setting the tone, they lost 4-3.
He nearly drove the green on this.
Mm-hmm, they lost 4-3. Got smoked on the back nine.
What's your current?
I'm dead serious. I think I'm sending out in the four ball matches where everybody gets to play their own ball. I'm right. Sending out Scotty and Bryson first, and I'm trying to just make that place into a frenzy. And I'm trying to see if it can be 3-1 in four ball, and you can go to tomorrow 4-4, and you sit there and go, "All right, it was a disaster start, but we can reset. We're all tied. Let's go to tomorrow."
Are you frustrated with our American representatives?
I'm more frustrated at the gambling books because I didn't understand why the U.S. was favored.
Well, you said this earlier that, in fact, you would normally think the U.S. would have players who are better suited to this course, but
correct.
That is not
that's
actually
not the
how
case.
It evolved.
And so, like, the home course advantage, which has been monumental the last 20 years, I don't think it's as significant here. In fact, you can even flip it to the other side. It might favor them more because they have a greater number of prodigious drivers.
Is it too early to say there's been a star of the show for Europe and a flop for the U.S.?
Yeah, I still think it's way too early. I mean, Rory and Tommy Fleetwood continue their run. It's something like they've trailed for three holes as a team together.
Right.
Like, it's like they've been phenomenal. Rahm has been really good. Like, that to me, like, that's kind of the other aspect about this. If Scotty and Bryson don't play well, it doesn't matter because there are two best players by a long shot, and they did not play well today. Sweet. It's awesome.
You wait.
I just like to think of it's God going, like, you need to really focus on the football this week, son.
God's telling you to focus on football. All right, we will take a break. In the second hour, Jeffrey is going to focus on football, and he's
focused right now.
He is going to. Is the card assembled, or are you still making tweaks?
We're assembling.
We're assembling the wagering card. Is something Jeffrey does, and John is gobsmacked that he has the courage to do this every Friday.
I don't have shame, John.
Give us his picks against the spread. Subject himself to possible humiliation, but right now triumph. So we'll do that in the second hour, and of course we'll talk to Chris Harrington when we return. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.